At this stage of the service, we are going to call upon Armin Tomassian. Armin is the newly installed and ordained minister in the Calgary Free Presbyterian Church in Alberta, Canada. I got to meet Armin for the first time this week. We're delighted that he is here. I wish in the providence of God that he could have been here a couple of years ago before our brother Aram Avedisian went to be with Christ. For these two brethren share the joy of being Armenians, not Armenians, Armenians. And so we're delighted that our brother Armin's here. Look forward to the testimony of God's grace in his life and his call to now pastor the church in Calgary. He has a striking resemblance to Milan Lucic. And if anybody knows sports in Boston, Boston Bruins have got a player, and he is the toughest dude on the team. Well, this guy would pass for his double. So.
Poor guy. Psalm 40, please. I just want to read one text of 10 minutes. Try to be as disciplined as Stephen was. It's a privilege to have this opportunity to give a short word of testimony, to be here in this church, participate in this week. I want to take the opportunity to thank those who have prayed for the work in Calgary. That both goes to the body of presbytery represented here, as well as others, maybe perhaps among this church, who have prayed for God's people there. God has upheld them. God has answered prayer for them, I trust, and has been blessing since our arrival, for which we praise the Lord. Today's date, May 13th, and I woke up this morning, and within 10 minutes I realized that today is my birthday, my spiritual birthday, that on this date, 13 years ago, my eyes were opened to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I understood what prior to that I did not understand at all. And it's just amazing just to think of his mercy. And so I would read one text before I make any comment. It's the verse 5 of Psalm 40. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. I trust you feel that way, beloved. You're gathered here tonight, you're a child of God. You feel the way the psalmist felt about God's salvation, about God's mercies, about the wonderful works which he has done. Isn't it tragic that so many Christians go around with a dampened spirit and down in the mouth? I know we can all be a little bit downcast at times, but we should keep our eyes upon the Lord and remember the spirit of the psalmist here and be thankful of all his tender mercies, of all his gracious benefits. And if we get the opportunity to speak of them, do we not find out they are more than can be numbered? I was born 1982 in Scotland. And when I was 3, we moved to Northern Ireland, where my mother is from, where she grew up. My father is Iranian-Armenian. That is to say, the family heritage is Armenian, but the family goes back for many, many years living in Iran. And when I was 3, yes, brought up in that with my parents, but there was no gospel in our home at all. In spite of the fact my mother was brought up under the ministry of Dr. Alan Cairns in Ballymoney. My grandparents on her side, they're great friends of Dr. Cairns, and my grandmother still is a friend to this day of Mr. and Mrs. Cairns. And my mom rejected the gospel, went her own way, and so there was no gospel in the home. And I see young people here, and I think it's tragic whenever there are young people who don't value having the gospel in the home. Absolutely tragic. And this spirit of trying to get out, as if you're chained by the restrictions of mom and dad and them making us go to church and go to Sunday school and go to youth groups and whatever, and thinking this is a bad thing, as if they're holding you back from something that's better. Rubbish. Don't believe the lie And I mean that in all sincerity. It is a lie. Some of you would try to trade places with your friends that you know out there who have more liberty to do what they want. But you've no idea of the life they live, of being brought up in a home that has no gospel. My parents divorced when I was around 8. And you just go on your merry way through teens and so on. And it was a godless youth, godless. And I denied the existence of God, had no time for the gospel, and used to laugh and mock at Christians to my shame. I got involved in things of the world. I'm not going to get into any of that. But God stepped in to our family. And the many years of prayers that had gone up for my mum in particular, her brother as well, who got saved around the same time, at the end of 2001. And when my mother got saved, I was 18 at the time. It just transformed the home. I didn't even live at home much at that stage. But I came home and the home was transformed. You just knew something had changed. And this idea that Jesus Christ, you can accept him and it doesn't change your life, it's ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. Because instantly, the first time I came into the home and my mom was a Christian, I realized there's something different here. And she began to pray for her son. And she prayed and she prayed. And she started pressing to go to church. And the first time I entered into church was January 2002 to hear my uncle give his testimony. He was just saved a couple of months. And that was the first time I'd been in church in about 11 years. It took a few months, but as I say, I came to Christ in May 2002, 13th of May. It was around 25 past 1 in the morning. I had been to church service, evening service that night. I'd went to a youth meeting afterwards, strangely, how God works. And then the young people who were on fire for God at that time, they kept me in the car. And they preached to me the whole way home, just preached in the car. And then in the car, sitting outside our home, they just kept on preaching and preaching and preaching. And I didn't realize, but my sister was texting my mom, pray, 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 you know, just pray. And my mom was inside on her knees, weeping for my soul. My sister's in the car, two young men as well, and just there preaching and prayer. And God was, and all the barriers, all the questions, all the doubts about the Bible, all the things I used to mock, how could there be all the animals on the ark and all that stuff, no one gave me an answer. No one gave me an answer. No one reasoned logically with me and, oh, you've won the debate, now I'll submit to the gospel. That's how Christians think. If I win the debate, I'll win the soul. But that's a lie. What I was confronted with was the realities of sin, of Christ, and him being the only remedy, and me needing him. And I just cried. I mean, I didn't even know what to pray. When God brought in conviction, just after 1 o'clock in the morning, I just cried. And I cried and I cried, and they prayed, and then I just cried. That's all I could do, cry. But God saved me. God saved me. This poor man cried, 19 years old. He cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles, his spiritual troubles. And my first burden, I'll share this for your encouragement. My first burden was my girlfriend at the time. We'd been going out some months, and I told her about what God had done. Asked her would she come to church. She was brought up in the Jehovah's Witnesses. Was there 10 years. Believed all that they taught. Was just in the world, but thought she would go back to the Kingdom Hall. And I asked her to come to church. She came to church. Now, the young people who were there, who were all on fire, they thought, if we do the same thing, we just hammer her scripture, she'll come to Christ as well. But she didn't. She was as hard as that pulpit. Just sat there, stony-faced. And we prayed. And I'd love to share with you what God was doing in the young people at that time, but I just don't have time to share that with you. We prayed. When I said prayed, it wasn't that we offered a prayer, we were continually weeping for her soul. It came to the following Sunday, and I called her in the afternoon. I said, Melanie, will you come to church tonight? She said, I will. I said, Melanie, I believe you're going to get saved tonight. And she said, I don't believe what you believe. I said, I know you don't, but I believe you're going to get saved. And I come off the phone, said to my mom, who's a woman of faith, great woman of faith, I said, Mom, I believe Melanie's going to get saved tonight. She said, I believe she will too, but it might not be tonight. I said, no, it'll be tonight. Went to church. Reverend David Park got up, announced his text, Hebrews 2 verse 3, how should he escape if he neglect so great salvation? Preached on eternal judgment, which Jehovah's Witness she had never heard before in the Kingdom Hall. And before he was even finished, before there was any appeal, the tears were streaming down her face. God had broken her. And she got saved that night. I can share that with you because she's my wife now. Not up here discussing the story of an old flame. God was so good to us. He just shrouded all both of us in young people who were hungry for God. And when Mr. Mercer's here, I put my name down for the youth camp to go on outreach that summer. And I went there, and Mr. Mercer was leading that group of young people. And just went on from there with a heart for God, a heart to serve the Lord. And I never wanted the ministry. I ran away from it for years. But how can you run away whenever God is telling you to do something? And so we went to Australia, sent by the mission board for 2 years, came back, went through the training. And you're praying, Lord, what will you have me to do? Where am I to be? And I just took Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. And that was my promise from God, just about the future. And I trusted in the Lord with all my heart, didn't lean on my own understanding, acknowledged Him and everything, and He directed the paths, and He directed them to North America, and to Alberta, and to Calgary, where we have been ministering now since the end of January. Beloved, never be afraid of what God has for you. Never think that putting your life upon the altar means something that will be unpleasant to you. To live for God, to just say, here, my Lord, do with me whatever you see fit. And then to trace the past 13 years. It just feels very real tonight to providentially be standing here on my birthday and just to think of all the way that He has led. And I say, young people, don't hold back. If all the other young people are as cold as ice and you don't even know if they're saved, don't you be like that. Stand apart. Live for God. And love Christ with all your heart. Hate sin with all your being. And don't let anyone tell you can take either too seriously. Give it all for God. May God even call some of you into deeper service and more sincere service for Him tonight. May the Lord bless us.